Chapter 7. Lexi could practically see fireworks going off in Nan's eyes when Mrs. Pendrake mentioned that Darlene was still in town. She knew her grandmother smelled something fishy and would want to investigate. But Lexi had to get in the kitchen and start cooking. So Nan's got Darlene's address from Violet, and she, Ruth, Ida, and Helen borrowed Violet's car to see if they could talk to Darlene. Luckily, she lived right in town, so they weren't disobeying Garrity's orders. Jack went to talk to Garrity to see if he could wrangle any inside information out of him. Lexi headed to the kitchen, where she gathered the ingredients to make magic bars for dessert. She'd already planned on double chocolate cake and red velvet cake with vanilla frosting, but by the way things were going already, she had a feeling they might need lots of desserts by the time the day was over. 3 hours later, Lexi had finished in the kitchen, and Nan's and the ladies were back and bursting with excitement. Violet ushered them into the conservatory and shut the French doors so they could talk without being overheard. Nan's, Ida, and Helen sat on one of the white wicker sofas. Ruth walked over to the window, inspecting the plants. Lexi stood next to the fireplace. "What did you find out?" Violet asked anxiously. "Was she really in town?"
"Yes, I'm afraid so," Nan said.
"But why would she lie to me?"
"The age-old reason, money."
"Money usually does it," Ruth said as she fingered the leaves of a ficus. Violet started pacing. "I don't understand why Darlene would lie. Did Karen need the money from the job that badly?"
"No, it's not that. Karen paid her to get this position here."
"Why?"
"That's a good question," Ida said. "Darlene didn't know the answer, but Karen paid her an awful lot of money. So it must have been pretty important for her to insinuate herself in this house."
Violet sucked in a breath. "Then she must be the killer." Nan's lips twisted.
"It would seem that way. But then the question is, what was her motive?"
"I think she was up to something. Yesterday in the kitchen, I saw her being very secretive about a phone call. I thought maybe she just didn't want to get caught making a personal call on work time. But maybe it was something else," Lexi said. Violet nodded.
"I've never made a rule about that. Most of the help has the common sense not to carry their phones around when they're working."
"Meow."
Houdini mashed his face up against the outside of one of the French doors that led to the lower garden.
"My word, that cat is everywhere."
Ruth walked over to let him in, stopping at a potted plant whose sickly brown leaves were drooping to the floor.
"This peace lily could use some care."
Once inside, Houdini ran over to Violet, who scooped him up in her arms, petting him soothingly. Back at the window, Ruth fussed with the plant. She was really getting into this gardening thing, thought Lexi. Nan's glanced over at her, a frown creasing her forehead. Maybe Nan's didn't like the way Ruth's new obsession with plants was distracting her from their amateur detecting activities.
"Anywho,"
Ida broke into everyone's thoughts, clearly eager to get on with the investigation,
"it sounds like this Karen is suspect numero uno."
"I wonder if Garrity knows," Helen asked.
"That should be easy enough to find out."
Nan's tilted her chin toward the door that led to the hallway, and Lexi saw Jack and Inspector Garrity walking toward them. Violet dropped Houdini, who landed on the floor with a soft thud and a belligerent meow. Then she opened the door for Jack and Garrity.
"What is it, Inspector Garrity? Have you carted Karen off to jail?"
"No."
"Why ever not?"
"No reason to put her in jail."
Nance frowned at Garrity.
We heard she might have some questionable motives.
Garrity looked at Jack. You were right. They were investigating. Do they do this all the time?
Jack shrugged.
Yep. I'm sorry to tell you, there's no stopping them. You might as well just join forces with them.
Garrity nodded slowly as he considered it.
Okay. I'll bite. You tell me what you know, and I'll tell you what I know.
Ruth, Ida, and Helen exchanged a look. Each gave a slight nod to Nance, who then described their visit with Darlene and how she'd admitted that Karen had paid her to make up a story so Karen could replace her at the mansion. Garrity listened intently, nodding his head.
Well, that corroborates what she told me. So she is the killer?
Violet sank into one of the wicker cushioned chairs. Her hand fluttered around her neck.
Oh, dear, I hired a killer.
I didn't say that, Garrity said. I said the story of her paying Darlene corroborates what Karen told me.
A look of confusion crossed Helen's face.
So she's not the killer?
Garrity shook his head.
I don't think so. She did pay Darlene to get this job here, but it actually wasn't for her. It was for the management of the production company that is doing this documentary.
Why would they do that? Nance asked.
It seems there's a mole in the company. Someone is passing along the documentary ideas to a rival production company. Apparently, good ideas are worth a lot of money. But they don't know who it is. So upper management hired Karen to infiltrate and see if she could ferret out the mole.
And that's why she paid off Darlene?
Violet asked.
Yep. The company gave Karen the money to pay Darlene, and Darlene persuaded you to hire her.
Are you sure she's not just making that up, you know, so you'll let her go and she can make a getaway?
Ida asked. Garrity's face twisted comically.
Gee, I didn't think of that.
He paused, then leveled Ida with a look.
Naturally, we made a phone call and checked it out. She's legit. But I'd appreciate it if you ladies didn't tell anyone. It's in our best interest to keep that secret while the investigation is ongoing. If the killer thinks we suspect Karen, he might get sloppy and screw up.
That's why she was being so secretive on the phone, and why she didn't really have any relevant experience, Lexi said.
That's right.
And you don't have any other clues or suspects?
Nance asked.
The pill bottle was wiped clean, so there were no prints on it. We never found the extra pills. We figure the killer either disposed of them or still has them. The hot toddy was laced with cyanide.
Garrity's eyes twinkled as he turned to Nance.
You made the hot toddy, so you might be my next suspect.
Nance bristled.
I hardly think I would have a motive.
That's the problem. We don't know who did have a motive.
Wait a minute, Lexi said. You said that Karen was here to look for a mole in the production company, someone who's giving secrets to a rival company.
That's right.
If there is a mole, then maybe Leonard caught him or her and threatened to prosecute. That might be a motive for murder. Garrity twisted his lips together.
Possibly. Leonard's room was locked from the inside, which means he must have let the killer in. Once inside, the killer probably distracted him and added the cyanide to his glass. We need to find out who he let into the room last night.
Too bad no one has come forward to say they saw someone, Lexi said. Nance tapped her fingers on her lips.
Maybe somebody saw something, and they just don't realize it's important.
Like that busybody, Mrs. Pendrake. She seems to be everywhere.
Helen leaned back to look out into the hallway, as if expecting Mrs. Pendrake to be out there spying on them.
She probably saw something.
Maybe, but is she reliable? Ruth asked.
Are any of them? Ida replied.
Nan snapped her fingers.
We don't need Mrs. Pendrake or any other witness. I think we have something much more reliable.
What's that?
Jack asked.
Nan's turned to Violet.
Didn't you say you'd installed a security system that would show anyone entering the library?
Yes, I have valuable books in there.
Well, Leonard's room was right next to the library.
Violet shot out of her seat.
That's right. Leonard was in the blue room. The camera is pointed at the hallway outside that room. Whoever went in there last night would be captured on the computer files.